Welcome to Fan Circle, your radio guide to thoroughbred racing this week in Tasmania.
And a very good morning, everybody. Welcome along to the program on a beautiful Sunday here in Tasmania. We don't have any racing as such thoroughbred-wise. We do have a very good meeting of harness racing at Launceston with a night event program. We'll talk about that a little later in the program. But we do have a couple of meetings to review and a couple of meetings to take a look at what is coming up with a big night of thoroughbred racing on Wednesday night. We're also at the Twilight Picture set down for Hobart this Friday. Good morning to Greg Mansfield.
Hey, good morning, Kyle. It's probably a good deal. We do have a bit of a break today because they'll come pick and pay us from now on over Christmas and the New Year, won't they, the race meetings?
Yes, they certainly do. And just touching on this meeting firstly in Launceston on Wednesday night, and we've got two feature races, the three-year-old cup, which is a $50,000 race, and it's over 1,200 metres, and only 10 nominations at the moment, but I'll tell you what, it's full of class.
It's a top class field, of course, headed by the star two-year-old of last year, Admiral, and under the set weights and penalties of the race, he does have 3 kilograms more than everything else. He's got 60. GG's Double J, who was, I think, second best last season, he's got 57, and then the rest are 55. Oh, some of the others have got 57 as well, and the good filly TG's Golden Girl's got 55, so it's a very good race, but let's just see how Admiral comes back.
Yeah, interesting to see the barrier draw and the makeup of the final field if all 10 go through into the three-year-old cup on Wednesday night. But as we say, Admiral will be resuming, comes from the Barry Campbell yard, and well, you'd expect him to be forward enough because he has been trialing in recent times.
Oh, he was totally dominant. I saw him trial not long ago, and he just blew them away. Very impressive. They were tempted, of course, and they gave a little bit of thought to running him against the older horses in the new market, but they decided to go the more traditional route, and that is the three-year-old cup through the Tasmanian Guineas, the Hobart Guineas, and I think they're looking at even running him in the Derby if he shows that he might be able to stay. But if he shows that he can't, they'll freshen him up, and there's even some thought of taking him to Melbourne in about March next year to run in the Australian Guineas.
Speaking of trialing, I know you saw it too. I was calling the trial Double J in Hobart last week. It could not have been more impressive, and Scooter's having a really good time.
He's a very good horse, isn't he? And there wasn't that much between him and Admiral last season. He was he beat Admiral on one occasion, chased him home on a couple of others. So they're both high-quality horses. I don't think the filly GG's Golden Girl is that far behind them. And, of course, you've got Valiant Warrior, who's never been beaten, and he was super impressive last time as well.
The last call, just call me Fred, too. I think he's going to make a name for himself this campaign, too. He's only just started his racing career, and with a couple of wins and laid in the class one first up, and then took on a couple of the good type of three-year-old races.
He did. I know Barry Campbell also has a good opinion of him. He's got Calavera as well in this race. Both those horses, I think, will probably be better suited when they go over 1,400 metres and a little bit further.
Eddie Ryan's very good. The Yankees, Sentimental Dream, Cole's Heroes, Valdez, Long Long, they round out the 10 that are nominated for the three-year-old cup. Something to look forward to on Wednesday night.
It is, and of course we've also got the Wait for Age race, the Conquering Stakes. It's over 1,400 metres, and we've got some good horses engaged there, of course, headed by GG's Black Flash. Bankamo, who was sensational first up in the new market. Rebel Bride, who was a little bit below her best in that race, but she could bounce back over the 1,400. And an interesting newcomer to the Brunton stable called Pay TV, who apparently you'd saw trial all right.
Yeah, trialed, wasn't all that impressive, trialing, having its first hit out in Hobart last week. It's a horse that hails from Queensland. It does come with some pretty good form behind it up around northern Queensland, so it's got to be an interesting run. I no doubt they've set it down here to see if it can pick up one of the rich plums over the summer racing carnival. So it'll be interesting to see how it does handle this pretty hot field that will be assembled for the Conquering race over 1,400 metres. That's a $30,000 race. Jacori Jim, Royal Ratchet in that race too, another one of Scotty Brunton's, and how good was it in the new market?
Well, it was great, wasn't it, running second to its stablemate, and Iggy McCool, who I think fifth, was almost as good as anything in the race, and I don't think they were disappointed with the run of Pitt Street now with Charlie Goggin and Luella Meeba. He was only midfield or a little bit worse, but he's not a 1,200 metre horse. I'd expect him to improve as he gets over these slightly longer trips.
So two very good races coming up. That's in Launceston on Wednesday night, the three-year-old cup and the Conquering Wait for Age over 1,400 metres. We've got a Twilight Picture, no fields out as yet for the meeting or nominations as yet for the meeting in Hobart on Friday night, but that's going to be in the Twilight Picture, probably around about the 3 o'clock through to 7:30 mark. couple of feature races on that program too. The Alexandra Plate, a $25,000 race for two-year-olds over 1,000 metres, and the Windenburg, a $25,000 race over 1,100 metres for the open sprinters.
You'd hope that with a decent night weather-wise, they'd get a good crowd out, but this is a good promotion, it's a good idea, get people out there after work, getting close to Christmas, and look, it's interesting to see how it goes. Right, I'm not sure whether they're charging to get in. I would have actually tempted to throw a free gate and see what happened, but I'm sure it'll be a good night.
Devonport did it, didn't they? A couple of seasons back, had probably this Friday night in the Twilight Zone as well.
Devonport did have it for several years, and it featured their Golden Mile meeting. I don't know why they lost it in the finish. Perhaps a Sunday afternoon was more appealing to them. I think at one stage they might have lost their Sky Channel coverage, but no, it was crowd-wise, it was a very successful promotion.
But thinking Friday night twilight, not too far away when we get into the summer racing channel, but Derby night, in fact, for the twilight fixture.
Well, that'll be interesting, won't it? Because quite a few people, including us, have been saying for several years that they needed to get the Derby and the Hobart Cup back onto the one weekend. We've got what, Friday, Sunday, is it Friday, Monday this year? But
Friday, Monday, yeah.
It is on the same weekend, and I think that's the right mix.
So look forward to that. That's somewhere down the track. Yeah, but mind you, once Christmas gets done and dusted, Greg will be into the summer racing carnival, and it'll be done and dusted before we know where we are.
It creeps up on us very quickly, doesn't it?
It does. All right, a couple of meetings to look back at, and last Sunday we had racing on the Tapeta service on the synthetic at Devonport. Pretty good program there. We saw a nice little plunge come off in the first event with That's What We Do, ridden by Anthony Dowman, and scooting straight to the front, never headed.
Now, trained by John Keyes was far too good, couldn't find too many excuses. The second horse, Rose's Quest, was okay. Armani, I suppose you could find an excuse for it racing wide, and the vet noted it blew excessively after the race, but it's been disappointing, Armani.
Miss Icandy made it a race-to-race double for Dharma in race number two. Couple of excuses around for the fancy runners, though, Bernard and Gigi Style.
Yeah, Bernard reared over in the stalls before the race and became cast for a short period of time. Questionable whether he should have started. I don't think he should have. Gigi Style injured his leg slightly with a laceration in the stalls also. They shared the lead in the race and ended up being overrun by Miss Icandy, who was just given a box seat run by Darman, and so I think you'd be wary of the format of that race.
Our lucky girl took out race number three, Ziggy Car aboard. Shorty Dank, in fact, crunched him to death, not to a $1.60 favourite.
Keen to lead, did so after a short distance and was never going to get beaten. Eternal Speed up on the pace all the way, battled on well to run second, but there were big margins in this race. 2 lengths to the second horse, another 2.5 to the third horse. I think just the winner was dominant.
Yeah, she's a handy little galloper that Johnny Luffell's got, and doesn't seem to go really well for Ziggy Car.
Hasn't finished further back than second on this horse, Ziggy, so yeah, got a good affinity.
Porto took out the next on the card on the Mangan of all to Gary White.
This was a very good ride. Logged outside the leader, and then eased to sit third in the box seat. And it just got the better of Lee John, who led on the fence and was collared by the narrowest of margins. And good judge Tommy just looked a fraction big, Lee John, so I think he'll take improvement out of that run. And he's one of my horses to follow. The well-back favourite, Irish Jack, couldn't get on the track. He was wide all the way.
Yeah, drew wide and stayed wide, and that was the end of the penny section for him. Triple B, Jamie Bayliss is aboard, one that carries those now famous colours of the black and blue for Mickey Burles.
Yes, the cleanest colours, and he sat one out and one back. He couldn't have asked for a better run. It was another race where the best ride won the money. Quickly Diamonds, who settled last. He loomed like a certain winner, didn't he, at the top of the straight, and then just picked on his run. Whether he was just one run short or not, I don't know. But there was one in this that you couldn't help but catch your eye watching the replays. It ran a 5th of 7. Its name was Lake Fergus, and I don't think I've seen a horse go over the line under as tight a hold as it was for a long, long time. It just could not get a run from the 150-metre mark to the finish.
Yeah, it's got a big asterisk beside its name in my horses to follow, Lake Fergus, so it's certainly one to watch when it steps out the next time. Gigi's Boss was trained on the track by the Wells camp, and Anthony Darman and made it 3 for the day.
Yeah, patiently ridden, settled about 6th. Had to go wide on the home turn when he wanted to improve into the race, but it was just a grinding win. I think that's the best way to describe it. stablemate as Lanyon was given every chance by Mehmet Alusanar. They got a split in between the leaders at about the 300. I thought it had no excuses. 7 Mile King was okay. He's not far off winning a race. All I Got, he was only a half length from the winner running fourth, so they were all close up. The Forgive Run was Evil Intent, who just couldn't get on the track, three wide all the way and ran last.
Certainly will improve it, I imagine, next time out. Golden Mile, of course, was the feature race of the day, and it, of course, is an exempt-free ballot straight through to the Devonport Cup, and the producer trained by John Black, a last drive win, and he'll be going on that path into the Devonport Cup.
Yeah, on a day of good rides, this was probably as good as any, like Kim Moore. Settled well back in the field after the first couple of hundred, then improved up along the fence to race fourth or fifth on the rails. Was third coming to the home turn, just got the perfect split. Came out after the leader, who'd skipped away at that stage, a second dozen, he probably looked home, and got him right on the line. And my genuine lad was up to his old tricks again. He looked a chance in the straight, and he decided he wanted to be on the outside rail, so he has to trial satisfactorily before he comes back to the races.
He's a very good horse. He just seems to get a little bit lost at Devonport, and he scouted wide, as you mentioned, but then he seems to shy at the steward scout that's about 100 metres or so from the winning post. He ducked in again, so fortunately he was out there on his own and no harm was done, but he certainly got some problems with the Devonport track.
He's done that a couple of times now, hasn't he? And it's a bit pity because his record on the Devonport track, other than that, is very good, and the overall record is also good. He's a promising stable. He just needs to mend his ways slightly.
That was the first leg of a winning double for a rider, Kim Moore. She rounded out the day on the track specialist, Crystal Reef, in the last.
Yeah, this was no surprise to you. You were very keen on it, and surprisingly, it drifted in the betting like it couldn't win. Got out to about $8.50, which was a remarkable price for a horse with its record on the track, led all the way. Never going to get beaten. I like the way Hot to Trot finished off. I think it's not far off winning a race this prep. Your pony was honest as usual. Look, it's hard to find too many excuses for the others. Frolicked, don't know what happened to it, was slow away and wouldn't respond to the rider at any stage. Maybe something amiss.
Six starts at the 1350 at Devonport for Crystal Reef for 5 wins. It's a nice little strike rate.
Which makes the $8.50 almost ridiculous, doesn't it? But that's what it got to, and, well, others benefited if they were loyal.
Well, I'm sure, like you and I, and anybody who takes a look at the replay, Blake Fergus was a standout. Anything else that might have caught your eye?
Well, I think because it might have needed the run on Sunday, Lee John, who ran a close second in one of the maidens, I think he's got his foot firmly on the two. He's related to a couple of very handy horses, and I'll put him in as well.
Mm. I thought there was another horse, there was a bit of a tip about for it too, called Eternal Speed. It was first out from a spell, and I thought it stuck on quite well and could be a horse to follow from that meeting.
And significantly, it was a Class 1 horse that had to run in a Class 2 race with the top weight, so you can make a case for following it when it gets back to its right grade.
All right, but we both agree that Lake Fergus, the horse to follow, clearly out of that meeting from Devonport on the Tapita. The next meeting at Devonport comes up on Boxing Day, so that's the next time we'll be travelling to the northwest coast for the synthetic track. But we went to Launceston, as we do each and every Wednesday night. It was a good program there until the rain came. That was later in the night. It started off beautiful. It was about 25 degrees when the first race was run and won, and I know I gave Brandon McCool a rap for his ride on Darien a couple of weeks ago when Heaven's Open, he got right up on the inside coming from second last to win, but I think his ride on None About Town was even better.
It possibly was, and he's a horse that takes a good ride because he's a very big horse, and he was drawn barrier two, which probably doesn't suit. He settled midfield, one off the fence. He was held up as they raced towards the home turn, and then McCool, as he invariably does, found a way through, got a split around the 2 litres at the top of the straight. Away he went to win, and he should win again. I'd like the run of the second horse, Magnata. Century Judy, who we highlight quite regularly, was wide early in the race and probably is worth following again. And maybe Manaziva, who showed a bit of pace and was eased down late, it can improve.
Yeah, a little bit of form to follow from that race. As you mentioned, Century Judy was probably four wide for most of the effort. For most of the race, it was a very big effort, so it was entitled to go backwards when it kept going forward. So I think it's certainly a horse that's going to win a race in the not too distant future. And Dance Through France, car was doing its best work at the finish and didn't really have a clear run to the line. So might be a little bit of form, a few winners to come out of the first event there that was a maiden over 1,400. Second event, and this was a bit of an upset, the longest price winner of the night, Western Front, getting up for Steve Davis, and Katie Rodder, who's back riding in Tasmania.
Yeah, it was a nice ride by Katie as well. There was a protest in this race, fourth against the winner, and first time we looked at the replay, it looked as if Western Touch might have given Gwemray a nice old serve at the 1,200, but as it turned out, it was the horse on the outside of Western Front that caused the problem, forcing it in. After that, Western Front was about sixth on the fence, got into a clear third at the top of the straight and ran on well to score by a narrow margin. I've got four horses to follow all out of the one race here. The runner-up, Shirley, I thought was very good after drawing a wide barrier and sitting outside the leader. The fourth horse, Gwemray, not only got that check at the 1,200 but then got chopped out at the 500. I think she's a nice filly. Our Mummy's Boy, who missed the start by two lengths, then almost circumnavigated the outside of the track. That was a huge run, got beaten 1 3/4 lengths. And as good a run as any of them was the horse that ran seventh, called Frogmore Louie. He was held up in traffic for the entire race. He got shunted out the back, approaching the home turn like he'd been spat out of I don't know what, and back to the complete rear of the field, had to come to the extreme outside on the home turn and ran on down that cut side of the track to get beaten two lengths. He's going to win very shortly again.
Yeah, and so did the horse that won at 100-1 a couple of weeks ago, all wrapped up. It was involved in that interference at the 1,200 metre mark. It got spat out the back and it made some good ground at the finish too, so he's going to win another race or two for sure.
So many horses to follow out of the race, it almost makes you worry that perhaps the form, perhaps they're all just average, but I'll go on face value and say that we can stick with some of those. They'll win races as long as they're not up against each other in the next few weeks.
We saw Cool Cash step out of the second race starting, and that luck on the boom. He got to the line, Anthony Dowman, and another win for him on Wednesday night, the third race.
Well, if he didn't have any luck at his debut, he made up for it on Wednesday night, because he drew barrier one, he just got the box seat run behind the two leaders who went at each other in front. Poor old Liberty Heights on the fence has given no peace in his last two runs, and was taken on by a horse called Have a Dabble, and he did have a dabble. He took on the leader all the way and dropped out. Liberty Heights battled on well to run second, but as you said, Cool Cash, deserving win, and might be able to go on with the job.
Mm-hmm. The verb for Adam Trinder and Dan Ganton took out the fourth of class two.
Didn't work out how Adam Trinder, the trainer, would have expected, because he's getting this filly ready for the 1600 metre classics, and he would have preferred her ridden back in the field and taught how to settle, but as it turned out in the small field, she ended up second early and then outside the leader, and that was probably what was required to win the race on the night. She'll be ridden differently, I think, next time when she gets over more ground. So Step worked home pretty well to run second.
Mm-hmm. Four was a very good race. The two principal chances, Lazy Democracy and Bideford. Bideford started the favourite at $2.60, but Lazy Democracy made it two in a row.
Another race where, look, I've got a ridiculous number of asterisks next to these horses for the Black Bookers, including the winner, who was huge. He was midfield and three wide for most of the race, and then four wide rounding the home turn, he was still able to get past some very good horses. So he's just come back in sensational form, Lazy Democracy. I'm not jumping off Bideford. He was slightly slow away. He led, but he was pressured all the way by Different, who's a very one-dimensional horse who always goes forward. I thought he fought on well under pressure, Bideford. Soundbar was good running third. Bellombre got chopped out at the 150 when attempting a run on the inside of Bideford. David Perez got a meeting over that. Merrick's Beauty was never on the track, wide all the way, and got beaten 2.5 lengths. And if you want to find another excuse, our Casanova, who ran last, beaten 7 lengths, gets about 3 mentions in the steward's report for 3 different checks. So a stack of horses to follow out of that race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought Merrick's Beauty was the run that it worked to watch from that particular race. Some good horses in it, and he did it really tough, and I think it could be a horse to follow, as you mentioned.
It looked the best race on the program to me, and I think it may well prove to be.
Yeah, I agree with that. The rain came after that. We had a thunderstorm. The races got delayed the last three races, but fortunately it did clear, although the rain continued, the thunder activity dissipated. Kukanoff came from last in the smallest field to win the Benchmark 82.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, Kim Moore rode very well at Devonport the previous meeting, and I think she went straight to the Test Lotto agency to buy a ticket after this race, because just got a dream run. Kukanoff settled last, there's only 5 in it, and then just got a split one off the fence on the home turn and went, whoosh, goodbye. Easy to bolt it in. Riley's GG was a bit wide, mid-race, battled on okay, landed on a lead, not sure whether that suited him. I know he does lead regularly, but
he went regularly, didn't he?
In this particular race, I don't know whether you wanted to be in front when you've got Pengala's GG engaged, but nonetheless, that's where he was, and Pengala's the jockey said he didn't handle the track.
The flyer took out the benchmark 72 over 2100. He's just got a bit too much class on these gallopers over this distance.
Far too good for these. Interesting to note that the runner-up Hugo, who gave a very bold side up in front, according to the vet, pulled up very distressed. High heart rate, respiratory rate, so the fact that he held on to run second under those conditions, it was a very gutsy effort. I hope there's nothing wrong with him. Maybe it was just a bit of a lung buster at his first go over 2100 metres, but he wasn't in a good state afterwards. Mr. Baldock made ground to run fourth, as he always does, and another late hour, I think we put him in the sack book for the time being. He put in another ordinary run.
Track conditions that I don't think suited there, but no real excuse. It's Flashell took out the last with a nice ride by Corey Parrott. Leave the track the way it was, straight to the front, catch me if you can.
Yeah, blinkers on, never going to get beaten. Perplexing made up a bit of ground to run second, they're probably the next best run.
Your horses to follow from system?
Well, I will go for Perplexing as one of them. I think he probably needs a little bit further than 1400. Lazy Democracy, Biotood and Merrick's Beauty all out of the one race, and earlier in the night also out of the one race, Shirley, Gwemray and Frogmore Louie, who's my 4X up.
Yep, alright, tend to agree with those. I'll throw in Century Duty, Gwemray, horses to follow, Merrick's Beauty, certainly one with the asterisks from the meeting in Launceston. That's what's been happening in thoroughbred racing. We'll take a quick break and be back to talk harness racing.